Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you.
In 2018, just as 2023 is predicted to be the worst wildfire season on record, when Doug Donaldson entered his position as Ministry of Forest Lands, Natural Resource Operations and Rural Development, the province was facing what would be at that time unprecedented wildfire conditions across the province.
Trying to get an understanding of the pulse of urgency in tree health, forest health, how urgent was it? You're coming in and the province is burning. You know, how to prioritize when you're basically putting out fires?
2017 with the wildfires, we had 2018 with even worse wildfires, and 2019 we had the collapse of the interior forest industry. Mills were shutting down right, left, and center. So those were three pretty big things. But to me, the fires in 2017 and 2018 were, a large part the result of forest health. So it was very easy to make the link, and staff, were well aware of making the link. And so it allowed us to drive forward some initiatives that, had to do with forest health and in the form of wildfire mitigation. But we know that we can't keep managing the forests the way we manage them, whether it's restocking standards that are geared to a climate from, 40 years ago versus a climate that's going to happen 40 years hence, those kind of things. So I'd be getting reports on specific forest health issues like the spruce beetle. The pine beetle was pretty well run its course by then. But forest health was always a topic of intertwined with all the other crises that were going on.
Perhaps the most important factor that will affect the future health of trees is the impact of climate change on the diversity and significance of damaging agents. At an increasingly alarming rate, agents attack or disrupt normal functioning of trees. Non-infectious or physiological diseases such as drought, infectious diseases or living agents such as fungi, bacteria, viruses, and higher plants can disrupt tree cycles, causing damage and mortality. Insects and other agents can cause substantial economic loss to British Columbia's forests. Insect outbreaks can occur sporadically and are characterized by rapid increases in population size and resulting damage. Climate change is expected to change the distribution and importance of forest health factors over time. These changes will depend on the degree of alteration of current temperature and moisture patterns, the intensity of damaging weather agents, and the effect of these changes on both the pest organisms and their hosts. Why does the state of Canada's trees matter? As mentioned previously, almost one in four species of trees is at risk in Canada, with almost half of Canada's at-risk trees being a global conservation concern and have been ranked as vulnerable by reputable organizations like NatureServe and listed as critically endangered, endangered, vulnerable, or near threatened on the IUCN Red List of Threatened Species. Quite eye-opening to realize the magnitude of our role in safeguarding these precious natural resources. Already, four species of trees have disappeared from Canada, with many tree species in Canada facing challenges. The butternut and limber pine, for example, are currently expected to experience a significant decrease in numbers, while species like the Pacific Bayberry and Murray's birch are also at risk due to their small populations or limited range, making them susceptible to extinction on a national or global scale. White ash, red ash, eastern flowing dogwood, and butternut have all become part of the unfortunate collective of trees alongside American elm and chestnut that have fallen victim to invasive pests and diseases. Prime example of this devastation is the emerald ash borer. This agent made its initial appearance in Canada in 2002, proving lethal for up to 99% of ash trees within only 10 years. The substantial decline in tree diversity has had a profound impact on the delicate balance of our forest ecosystems, as well as the welfare of wildlife and numerous benefits that forests offer to humankind.
In your opinion, what do you think the government's capacity to manage the huge crisis that our forest health is experiencing right now?
Well, I think it's we're catching up. Mm-hmm. I mean, the management regimes have been created to deal with a certain set of ecosystem circumstances, and those things have changed rapidly, especially with climate change. I've interviewed some scientists lately for a different project I'm working on, and these are fire ecologists well known throughout BC, and a number of them said to me the predictive models that we thought was going to happen 20 to 30 years from now are happening now.
Right.
So I think that government, the people in the bureaucracy who study these things are aware of it. Then you have the political world, and the fact that some of the larger centers in BC are more frequently experiencing smoke is an opportunity to, you know, try to open some eyes about why that might be and drive forward some change. So I think there's an opportunity for the management regime to evolve more quickly right now than it has in the last 40 years.
So from what I'm gathering, there was a murmur of urgency. You were sensing a cultural shift from, as you said, it's starting to come into more discussions.
So the overall question of, was there a recognition of a forest health crisis and how high up on a priority list that is, I think was involved in each of the different topic areas as I was discussing. I mean, the forest health crisis being, you know, climate change and the way that we had managed the forest to put out forest fires for 100 years led to a unbalanced ecosystem that results in the wildfires we have to today. I mean, you know, we had 16 years of a certain ideology around forest management, and we had a tradition of forest management for timber values first and foremost, even before that. When we became government, one of the strategy documents that was created is Clean BC, which is, you know, our responsibility to reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
Yes.
And so forest health plays into that. You know, we've got some focus now on modernized land use planning, and that involves forest health. And so it's not just the Ministry of Forests that deals with this. There's implications around government.
Trees, defined by the Oxford Dictionary as woody perennial plant, typically having a single stem or trunk growing to a considerable height and bearing lateral branches at some distance from the ground. The largest plants on our planet, trees are essential to life, providing our main source of oxygen to help us breathe. They store carbon, stabilize the soil, encourage biodiversity, conserve and filter our water, and are clinically shown to improve our mental health and physical well-being. Trees provide us with the materials for tools and shelter, timber for construction, fuel for cooking and heating, food and medicine. Trees can reduce natural calamities such as flooding, fire, soil erosion, and help to reduce climate change. Trees have a sacred status, are used in rituals, and have symbolic importance for ethnicity, identity, and connection to a place. Trees play a central role in stories, myths and histories, and are mythologized as fundamental elements that fuel life and existence, such as the tree of knowledge in the Garden of Eden in the Bible. Trees are considered representative of life, wisdom, power, and prosperity, and regarded as observers witnessing humans and the planets around them. I wonder what our trees have witnessed. In recent years, there has been a noticeable decline in the health of trees in the region, as they have become susceptible to disease and have weakened immune systems. It is crucial to determine the origin of this decline and its causation factors. According to the British Columbia Ministry of Forests, Land, Natural Resource Operations, and Rural Development, the primary contributor to the deterioration of tree health in the province is a cumulative impact of various environmental stressors, climate change, insect infestations, drought, and other related factors have all played a role in straining the forests of British Columbia and compromising their ability to combat diseases effectively. It is worth noting that the decline in tree health began to be closely monitored in the late 1990s, with the region experienced milder winters. These conditions allowed mountain pine beetles to spread more rapidly as the weakened trees, already affected by drought and other environmental stressors, became more susceptible to infestation. This unfortunate scenario resulted in the death of millions of trees throughout the years, ultimately leading to the creation of the forestry, the Provincial Tree Count Report, which tracks and documents the extent of the issue. It would not be until the early 2000s that the British Columbia government recognized the issue and responded by funding research to understand the factors causing tree health decline. Using the research findings, the BC government developed a 5-year action plan to combat tree mortality. The key objective of the plan was to curb the spread of insect infestations through highlighted surveillance and monitoring of efforts. Funding for research was also boosted to diverse improved strategies for managing forest pests and enhancing forest health. The government only allocated resources to forest education programs and public outreach campaigns. These initiatives aim to increase awareness among individuals about ways to safeguard tree health. Even more recently, the government has initiated pilot projects to explore novel methods like biocontrol techniques to combat insect infestations in forests.
And I guess to me, one of my concerns is government moves slow, mm-hmm. and Mother Earth is not waiting for us. What did you see as kind of some more positive initiatives going forward that might be some hopefulness?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots as far as I'm concerned. I just did a state of play in quick report for a project I'm working on of what's the current state of play in the government when it comes to forests. And there's a lot going on, and there's so much going on that I think many people in the bureaucracy feel a bit overwhelmed, mm-hmm. and then industry consistently tells us they're overwhelmed.
I'm going to interrupt you because I was realizing I wanted to know, how much is the industry themselves alarm belling for themselves?
I think so. I think I'm not in government anymore, but what I'm hearing from colleagues and some of the projects I'm working on right now, what I'm hearing is that industry really, especially in the interior, wants just to know how much timber are they going to be permitted to harvest and what the rules are. And because there's been some new regulations introduced, and what gives hope in the future, I think I was quite happy that a couple of days before the election was called in 2020, we as government committed to all 14 recommendations in the old growth strategic review. There's a lot of work being done on those recommendations and involves viewing forest management in the context of biodiversity first. And so there's people in the chief forester's office working on that. There's people in the Ministry of Water, Lands and Resource Stewardship working on that. There's people in the Ministry of Forests working on that. One of the tasks for the Minister of Water, Lands and Resource Stewardship, who happens to be Nathan, in his mandate letter, is to develop a new financing model for conservation. So I think things can change. They can happen quickly when the public has a sense of direction.
Other than, you know, the proverbial what can the public do, they can become informed. If I have to say that again, I get so upset. I'm just like, informed about what though? What might we be able to tell the listeners, things that they can do that are actionable in their life right now, whether that is from your science background, from your government background, from your personal background, like some messages that we can leave people that can be something tangible that they could do towards forest health and engagement?
I think there's a few things. I think that if you're too busy in your life, you can find ways to support people who are working on these topics, you know, whether it's taking their kids for a day or, you know, saying, have you had a meal yet today because you're so busy, or just, you know, supporting people working on this with your, if you have extra financial resources to do so. Personally, I mean, I think there's, you know, there's lots of initiatives and there's lots of information. I don't think there's a lack of information or a paucity or people are withholding information. So find what you're interested in and then question those who hold some degree of power about what they're doing about it. So whether it's a local MLA or MP or whether it's your local council, whether it's a local bureaucrat, I'm always optimistic and take the approach of, you know, kindness first, and that's the approach I've always taken. You asked what people could do earlier as well. I mean, people like you who like to be in the forest and observe, some people say citizen scientists, it's just a term, but I mean, people who are observant and care about the forest, I think take those questions to local people who have their profession in forestry and ask them questions. I think we were discussing this earlier, that we've got lots of good relationships because of where we live. We run across each other and are, you know, forced to rub elbows with people we might not necessarily share 100% of values with, but it creates a big diversity and it creates the opportunity to be able to ask questions of people. So I think that's another way, more people out on the land observing and asking questions.
The decline of tree health in British Columbia is a growing problem, primarily caused by environmental stressors. While progress has been made through government efforts, more work is needed to ensure the long-term health of the region's forests. Continued investment, public awareness campaigns, and creative solutions are necessary to safeguard the ecological benefits of trees for future generations. As I make my way back in the scorching heat from the cabin, I feel a tad dissatisfied with the interview I just had with Doug. To be clear, it's nothing he has done. Actually, he was incredibly gracious and generous, considering my unscripted rambling questions, having regrettably forgotten my list of questions behind, distracted in the heat. More likely, I just didn't ask the right questions. I'm left unsatisfied and impatient to gain further understanding of the government's handling of the health crisis affecting our trees and forests in British Columbia, in yearning for that something tangible that people could do to help. Looking to the future, the government will continue to introduce strategies that aim to support the vitality of trees in the province, that better understand how insect disease and environmental stressors stress these essential organisms, and how supporting the health of trees is key to maintaining healthy ecosystems and preserving tree health in the long term. As I sit in my car and place my phone on the console, I'm frustrated. I scrutinize the possible consequences of our government's sluggishness in modernizing not only topics of research and forest management models and practices, but also in their methods of effectively communicating the issues to a wider public, which clearly has led to an inadequate dissemination of information. How might these factors have contributed to the alarming reality that 1 in 4 trees in Canada are currently at risk of disappearing? In a society inundated with information, including a lot of misinformation, it is natural to question the extent to which the government has fulfilled its responsibility of keeping the public informed and engaged of BC's evident current tree health crisis. The very existence of a large number of noteworthy individuals I've encountered who seem uninformed or ill-prepared when engaging in discussions concerning the deteriorating health of our forests in Canada make it apparent that further emphasis on education and awareness is needed and stresses the urgent need for modernizing the government's communication systems directed at the public. All necessary if we are to address this issue effectively and gain support from the public. As I pull out of his driveway, a concern arises within me, contemplating the government's painfully gradual expansion of the government's research effort and ongoing collaboration with industry, landholders, and stakeholders. I ponder whether this colonial reluted government has the capability to effectively steer the transition process away from their current outdated forest models and will adequately support cultural forest care while adapting to rapid environmental changes. More importantly, have we acted fast enough or aggressive enough in securing this natural resource into our futures? If a tree falls in the forest with no ears to hear, does it make a sound? It matters not, for the tree has fallen.
You've been listening to If a Tree Falls, a two-part series produced, written, and narrated by River Wild. Research for this series incorporated sources from articles, reports, and personal accounts and stories, and includes segments from an interview that took place in northern BC between River Wild and retired NDP MLA Doug Donaldson at his studio cabin in the summer of 2023. The interview has been edited for this series. For a complete transcript of the interview, please see smithersradio.com. Additional source for this series includes the articles Almost 1 in 4 Tree Species in Canada is at Risk of Disappearing by Daniel Krauss, Edge of Extinction, Shape of Nature. Article New Report Finds That 1 in 4 Trees Are at Risk by Cheryl Santamaria, The Weather Network. Article Canfor Unveils Jumbo Sawmill by Peter Kennedy, Globe and Mail, February 10, 2004. Article, Houston Falling, Supersized Mills Lead to Supersized Problems for BC Forests and Workers, by Ben Parfit, Policy Note, March 2, 2023. And article, British Columbia's Looming Extinction Crisis, by Sarah Cox, The Norwal, August 8, 2020. Reports referenced included NatureServe Canada's 2021-22 annual report and IUCN Red List of Threatened Species at iucnredlist.org. Report, Public Influence on Reforestation in British Columbia, by Robert G. Brown, for the Ministry of Forests, Forest Practices Branch, prepared for the Third Global Conference on Paper and the Environment, London, England, March, 1995, British Columbia Government Publication. And the 1996 report by Canadian Forest Service Publications, Common Tree Diseases of British Columbia, by Allen, Morrison, and Wallace, for the Natural Resources Canada, Canadian Forest Service, Pacific Forestry Centre, Victoria, BC. Additional information for this series was sourced from the 2014 Field Guide to Forest Damage in British Columbia, by Ken White and David Rush, Province of British Columbia, Crown Publications, Queen's Printer, 2014. For a complete reference list and links, please go to smithersradio.com.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at cicknews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.